Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Stand. We're going to turn to the first communion hymn. I don't have a page number in mind, but praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Page 7.
And we'll sing that together.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. Join the whole throng with harp and psalter and song.
Transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them I have continually offended you, and fairly deserve your punishment, both now and eternally. But from my heart I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, in your limitless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song.
His praise in the assembly of the godly.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and have not
I cried to you for help,
and you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints,
and give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sin of the world. Receive our prayer. You sit at the right hand of God, the Father. Have mercy on us. For you only are holy. You only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the sixth chapter. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes,
in the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth.
On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them,
who keeps faith forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed,
who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless.
But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
The second reading is from St. Paul's first letter, the second chapter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has been raised from the dead. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Having heard the word, what do you believe? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
We sing the hymn at the Lamb's High Feast.
At the Lamb's High Feast we sing, praise to our victorious King, who has washed us in the tide, flowing from his pierced side. Alleluia. Praise be him whose love divine gives his sacred blood for mine, gives his
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." This is our text. I think it's a universal fact of human existence that we desire to have a place. Everyone desires a place for themselves, a place where they fit in, somewhere to belong, a home, a community. We desire this because this is the way God built us. He made us this way. And yes, I know sometimes it may feel like we're wandering aimlessly around, but then again, deep down, we all know that it wasn't meant to be like this. So where's your place? God made a place for Adam and Eve. He didn't just let them wander aimlessly, and he didn't leave them to find their own way. He put them in a garden. A garden, ordered and beautiful, and that was their place. When I think of a garden, the opposite of a garden seems to me to be a wilderness. I suspect there are some people who have very romantic ideas about the wilderness, but I can tell you the wilderness is chaotic. It is disorganized, and it's wild. It's not home. Even the bravest explorers and adventurers, they may go into the wilderness for a while, but they don't stay. Lewis and Clark, they had a place to return when their adventures were over, a place that was home. The Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve's place. It was the place where they were most at home and the place where they were most at peace. That was the place where they reflected God's image to his creation, where they enjoyed the fruits of what God had made, where they walked with him in the cool of the day. Now, you know we're not in Eden anymore. You know what happened. You know how sin came and how sin displaced humanity. Not only Adam and Eve, but everyone descended from Adam and Eve. It drove us out of the garden. It took us from the place that we've never known, but the place where we would be most at home. And it set us into a hostile wilderness, a wilderness of weeds and sweat and pain and sorrow and death. Sin left us without a place. And that's the reason why we often don't feel fully at home here. It's why we're so often restless and searching and unsettled. You know how it is. If not yourself, maybe others, you see it. We move from place to place. We move from thing to thing. We move from person to person. But we can't seem to find a place that fits us perfectly. Not always. And we don't know how to get back into the garden, into that secret garden. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul describes the same longing for home, and he puts it this way. I'm going to read five verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. St. Paul says, "For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly body, our earthly home, is destroyed, We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal would be swallowed up by life. He who prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Did you notice how St. Paul describes our current condition, our present situation? He says it's like living in a tent. It makes it sound like we're out on a camping trip through the wilderness of this life. I know some of you enjoy camping, but I wouldn't want to do it all the time. Right now, we're in this earthly tent, but we are longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. And there's the heart of the matter. Life as we know it now isn't our permanent home. No wonder we're restless for something more. I do want to be clear, though, when St. Paul talks about the tent in which we're living, he doesn't mean exactly our body. Our longing isn't just to escape from the body that we have into some bodiless existence. Human beings are embodied souls, or you could say ensouled bodies. Those two things belong together, body and soul. When someone dies, what makes death so terrible is that it separates what God has joined together, the soul and the body. So what we're really longing for, and what St. Paul is speaking about when he talks about being in this tent, is that we are longing for the body and soul together to be free of sin and its effects. We want to be wholly alive and at home in a body suited to dwell with God and with God's people forever. Or as we confess in the Creed, we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We want to be out of the tent of the sinful flesh and in a house built by God, an eternal home, fully alive, body and soul, in the Holy Spirit, to be at home with the Lord. But in this tent, St. Paul says, we groan. We groan. And don't we know it? With every little ache and pain, with every doctor's appointment and follow-up test and prescription, the reminders are daily. The heartbreak, the broken relationships, the sorrows that we have, and the diseases and illnesses, as we watch our loved ones failing, reminding us that we're not living in that permanent dwelling yet, reminding us that this body in which we live has an eviction notice and destruction date stamped on it. The wages of sin is death, and those wages always get paid. And we groan too. We groan over our own sin and our longing to be free from it. And we groan because we can't free ourselves. And we groan over what we see in the world, the evil, the hate, the violence. We want to be at home. We want to be at peace. But it seems so far away, so unattainable. And the truth is, it is unattainable for your sinful flesh. To be at peace and at home with our sin is to be eternally dead. So what needs to happen is that my sin needs to die. And so does yours. We don't want that coming with us. Jesus said these things that we heard from John 14 as he was about to die. He told the disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them, and this troubled them. They were afraid. How many times had Jesus already prepared them for that time? How many times had Jesus said that he was going to die and rise again? But you know how it goes. They're still scared. I mean, these are people who had left everything to follow him. They'd left their jobs, they'd left their homes, they'd left their lives. And now it sounds like they're going toward an uncertain end. Where will they turn? What will they do? Jesus says, trust me and trust my Father. He said he was going to prepare a place for them in the Father's house, and he said he would come again and take them along so that they would be with him where he is. Jesus was speaking of his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And it is by that going away, going through death, that he comes to resurrection and to glory, and he brings us with him. We should hold on to this promise that Jesus gives, that in his Father's house are many rooms, that he is going and has gone to prepare a place for us. And as much as we would long to be in that place now, we have him also with us here, sustaining us until that day comes. The only way to go, the only way to go to the place where Jesus had gone, the place that is truly home, was for him to go through death and resurrection. "You know the way to where I am going," Jesus said. But the disciples didn't think they did. "We're not even sure where you're going. We have no clue how to get there." But they did know. Jesus had taught them, just as he has taught you. They didn't want to hear it. They were like we were. They only wanted the glory without the suffering and the death. But the only way to get there, the only way to light to this life, is to die and rise with Jesus. There's no way to improve this humanity of ours. There's no way to fix up our sinful nature. Not by genetic engineering, not, if it were possible, by millions of years of evolution. It wouldn't get rid of sin. It would probably only get worse. Sin is part of the corrupt nature that we've inherited, and so is death. And if sin and death are going to be destroyed, then they must be destroyed in the flesh, in our human flesh. And this is why Jesus came. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, who stands uniquely between the Creator and us creatures, between the Father and us fallen human beings. He is of the same essence of his Father, as he said to Philip, "The Father is in me and I am in the Father," true God. But he is also like us, our brother, born of the Virgin Mary, truly human, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And so he stands in God's place and in our place as the mediator between God and humanity. And in his flesh, our flesh is redeemed. Our sin is put to death. And death itself is overcome. There is no other man who can claim to be God and not be lying. And there is no other man who can mediate between God and man and can reconcile a fallen world to the Father. There is no one in this world other than Jesus, who embodies in his own body the truth and the life. When Jesus says, "I am the truth," he doesn't just mean that he speaks the truth, although certainly he does that, but he means that he himself is the truth. What an amazing thing to say, especially in an age like ours that is so cynical about truth. There's a little bit of Pilate in all of us. "What is truth?" Pilate said. As if truth is something that can't be known, or something that can be sort of tweaked to fit whatever we desire or whatever we want. The world no longer believes in truth in an absolute sense. In our age, truth is so often considered to be relative. You have your truth, I have my truth. Maybe it changes tomorrow, maybe it's different next week. It's just a matter of opinion. Who are you to tell me? Jesus blows that right out of the water. "I am the truth." And any other belief, any other attempt, is just a way of trying to evade and deny him. Jesus is the absolute truth, the truth beyond which there is nothing further, the truth to which all truth points. He is the truth enfleshed in our humanity, and there is nothing false in him. He is the antidote to the lie that poisoned our humanity. He is the antidote to the lie that drove Adam and Eve and us into the wilderness of sin and death. He is the truth of God's love for the world. and for you, and of God's passion to save, and his mercy toward sinners. And Jesus is the life. He is the creator of life, and he himself is life. And the word that he speaks is spirit and life. It enlivens every living thing. He is the life that death itself cannot overcome, as we remember and celebrate every Easter and in the Easter season that keeps going and going. No one else can do this. Jesus is the way. There is no other door that leads to life with God except the narrow door of his death and resurrection. And there is no other truth except the truth that comes from Jesus, the truth that he speaks not on his own authority, but rather from the authority of the Father himself. You hear his words tonight, the words of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And in hearing, you are set on the way, and the truth is revealed to you, and you have life. You not only hear the words, but tonight you also receive the body and blood of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. We don't know the way to where you are going. He says, just open your mouth. I'll lead you. We don't know the truth. He says, open your mouth and I'll pour it in. We don't know the way to where you are going. We don't know how to find the life. And he says, here is my life for you. Let not your hearts be troubled. But they are troubled, aren't they, often, by our past, by our present, by our future, by our sins and our failings, and by the certainty of death. But whatever the cause of trouble that you experience tonight, whatever your anxiety or terror or fear, Jesus invites you to trust the Father and to trust him. Why? Because Jesus has gone the way of death and resurrection to glory. And he brings his brothers and sisters along with him. You are baptized. You are a chosen people, as St. Paul said. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation and God's treasured possession. And you belong to the body of Christ. You are a member of the household of God. You are a priest in the royal priesthood of Jesus. And I suspect that if you needed more, St. Peter could have just kept going and going and going. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. And he will raise you from the dead on the last day so that where he is, you will be also. And yet already now in this amazing mystery, you are there with him by faith. So yes, you have a place with Jesus, a place made for you by his word and his sacrament. You have a home. In Jesus, you are never lost, but you are always found. In Jesus, you are never dead, but you are always alive. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He and no other. Trust him. And we say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me out of your presence, nor take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a free spirit. Amen. We pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all his adopted children in Christ, that they would long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the royal priesthood of believers, that they would offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving acceptable to God, Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all pastors and church workers, that we may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants of his word, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our households, that begotten in holy baptism, we may grow in his grace and share together in his forgiveness and life, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Paul and Jamie, united in holy marriage yesterday, and for all husbands and wives, that our Christian marriages would witness to the world of the union of Christ and his bride, the Church, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. With thanksgiving for the births of sons to Patrick and Laura, son Abel John, and of August Wilder to Matt and Addie Maurizio, for expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kay, Rachel, Abby, and Emma, that they be kept safe through pregnancy, labor, delivery, and postpartum, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For good government, for our President, the Congress of the United States, our governor and all civil servants, that they may honor the holy God, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, the fearful, the homebound, the homeless, the dying, the mourning, and all who have requested our prayers, including Dale, Heather, Donna, Georgia, Tom, Ed, Kay, Thane, Jason, Nancy, Judy, Tom, Randy, Rosemarie, Nancy, Audrey, Dick, and Eldon, for the Purinton family, as well as for our homebound, Karen, Rick, and Andrea, that for the sake of Christ's holy cross, God would grant them healing, comfort, and entrance into his heavenly kingdom, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who eat and drink the crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord, that they would taste that he is good and continually grow up into his salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. In thanksgiving for Saint Stephen, whom Christ has received into glory, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faith and love, in imitation of the Church's first martyr, that we may speak Christ's truth with boldness, forgive those who persecute us and fall asleep in Jesus, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
O Body of Christ, given Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Blood of Christ,
O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us your peace. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. We stand and sing together the second communion hymn, "Now I Have Found a Firm Foundation."
Now I have found a firm foundation, which holds my
Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
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 We sing the last two stanzas of At the Lamb's High Priest.